directors. Director Dahl is not going to be joining us tonight, but we will endeavor to proceed. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill?
Here.
Vice President Mann?
Here.
Director Angel?
Here.
Director Bookout?
Here.
Please join me in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to item number three, board member items for discussion.
I don't have anything.
Nothing.
Not at this time.
I have one thing that came up over the last couple weeks that was just a personal concern. I wanted to bring it to the attention of the board that, and I've had a conversation with council and the general manager, and I think we have a point of disagreement, which is certainly fair in public policy issues. This particular item concerned an ordinance that the district has establishing a personnel policy that goes back to 1985. And it appeared to me that one of our recent actions may have violated that board ordinance, and I was concerned about that and the possibility that we might have. Item number four is public comment. I see Lieutenant Sean McCrae from the Highway Patrol is here. Lieutenant, do you have any comment you'd like to make?
My office received a couple of phone calls in the past week regarding RVs that were staying overnight near the Seabreeze trailer park. And I was here to address some questions concerning that. We are aware of that.
If they're spending the night there, that is goes against county codes, and if they're sleeping in those motorhomes overnight,
haven't made any contacts as of yet. We just received two phone calls in our office over the past week.
I've had a couple citizens contact me and ask me to check into that. Also, the railroad property across from the Phelan and Taylor property. Do you have any jurisdiction on that?
Not on the railroad property itself. No.
I might add just one comment. The sheriff's office also did talk to some people that were sleeping overnight in the last few weeks, but they have to catch them sleeping before they can do anything. Yeah. Just because they're parked there. If they're not in there sleeping, I don't think you can do anything.
Other comment for the lieutenant? Thank you very much, Lieutenant. Thank you very much for the efforts of the Highway Patrol and the community. We give you our ongoing sincere appreciation.
You're welcome. I'm not here to address only this issue. If there's any other issues on behalf of the Highway Patrol.
Good question. Maybe send somebody out to look at that. It's a concern.
Any particular days of the week or times of the day?
It's just odd hours that we notice it. Mm-hmm. Just not any particular that I can think of.
So during your typical commute hours?
No. I'll try to be more attentive so I can clue you in and think about that.
I'll make sure this gets brought to the attention of the unit that's assigned to work this area.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That just... The public may not have been able to hear that. The comment was about speeding on Wilmar Street. And with school in session, I think we should remind everyone to please be courteous. There's kids on the way to and from school. I know there's been some problems in the past with speeding on the arterial streets in the community, Paso Robles Street and Wilmar, I think in particular, probably also 13th and 22nd Street. See quite a bit of vehicles perhaps exceeding the speed limit, so we respectfully request everybody to try to slow down and be safe out there, and we want to meet Lieutenant McCrae under friendly terms and not not having to have him issue citations. Any other comment for the lieutenant? Glenda?
Glenda Guyton, channel. My concern is on Lakeside Street. And all during the weekends, cars will be parked on both sides of the street. When people leave their cars there and go down on the beach with other people, then the cars will be between Juanita and Pierre Avenue.
Yes, if they are lawfully parked there, then there's no action being taken until after 72 hours.
Other comments?
Jenny Carey, Oceana. I've noticed a number of abandoned cars on Highway 1, just catty corner from the Central Market, that have been there for many, many months. They're just parked there and left. And there's also a Volvo on the pike between Elm and Halcyon, that's along the grove of eucalyptus trees, that's been abandoned. It's been there for months. I mean, there's cobwebs all over it, dirt, so it's obvious they've been there a while.
Are these vehicles you're speaking about on what we would consider the roadway or the shoulder of the road or the down private property?
They're on the ones on Highway 1 are parked along the curb. The one Volvo I'm mentioning on the pike is parked right where the eucalyptus grove is, off the shoulder on the dirt between the road and the trees.
Okay, I will make sure that information gets out to the assembly. Yes, sir.
I'll make a note of what appears to be an abandoned catering truck on 22nd Street, excuse me, Beach Street between 22nd and 21st. It's a, looks about 67 Chevy. I mean, that's a fixed rubber or something.
Okay.
Any other questions for the lieutenant? So once again, thank you very much, Lieutenant. Appreciate
you.
Your help and all of the law enforcement help in the community. General public comment, item 4, any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications, however, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Is there anyone who'd like to address the board on any general topic? Betty?
Betty Carey, Oceano. I have two issues I'd like to address, and I'll keep them both very short. The first being the test of the emergency warning system that took place Saturday at noon and again at 12:30. I live right on Highway 1 where I get a lot of the highway noise, and the traffic noise overpowered the alarm. If it had not been the fact that I was expecting the alarm, I read the notices that came out that they were going to be testing, I would have not heard it or paid any attention to it. It sounded like, once I focused on it, it sounded like the droning of power tools being used someplace. To me, an emergency warning system should be both loud and distinct. And in my opinion, it was neither, the testing Saturday. My other issue I'd like to bring up is I would like to see the return of the Oceano newsletter. This is the only one I have some schedule of events for the new community center, the senior center. Two meetings ago, I heard a gentleman address a library opening. I had not heard of that before. I still don't know where that is, but the hours for that and anything that would be a beneficial information to the community, garbage pickup days they sweep the streets, that kind of thing. But I think it would be very beneficial to bring this back. If postage, cost of postage was one of the issues why it was stopped, instead of mailing them out, perhaps they could provide copies at the local businesses, at the post office. the community center, the senior center, no places accessible to the community. But I think it appears to me as a very worthwhile effort. And in closing, perhaps I'd also like to see on the front of it Oceano's slogan, Oceano, Gateway to the Dunes. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. A brief comment. I believe the library is located currently on the grade school campus.
Where is it?
On the grade school campus, near the office. No, on the grade school. Oceano School.
Oh.
It's south of the office of the grade school.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Mark?
Work with. Some of us don't have as much faith as others, so be patient with some of us. By faith, we believe the bills will be paid. By faith, we believe the building will be used for what it is supposed to be used for. So let's move forward on this, and I support that. I realize this, depending on what side of the fence you sit on, it's time to move on. Let's support it. Let's get on with it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. A question on that, if I might ask staff, have we received anything related to that?
Yes, but it's been taken care of. We got a letter from the attorney for Coast National Bank concerning some possible deed restrictions. It's been worked out with the county. There are no deed restrictions, and so that's all taken care of. The bank is... looking, I've heard as the data as of Monday to get everything put together. So but I still have not seen the release yet.
So we're just waiting for the process to take place.
Only out of an excess of caution, because this has been such a topic of public notice. It's not that there are no deed restrictions. There were some additional deed restrictions that he thought were in place, and we determined that they're not. So the ones we've talked about over and over again about restricted for recreational use, that is still in place.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you for the clarification. That's good. Is there any other public comment? Hearing that, to accept the minutes as presented in the public comment?
Yes, Pamela Dino-Siano. I noticed that my attachment was not included in the minutes that I gave to the attorney on that day.
Okay, can we have those added?
I guess I just that was, what is that, was that concern? Oh, you got more? Good. Okay, thank you.
Does that just get attached to?
Yeah, it just
gets attached to the original.
To the original.
We don't get a copy of that, I don't think.
Okay, so and I presume your motion still stands with the attachment.
Yeah, because I believe the attachment only goes on the original and the files, not on our copies.
Well, it would. I'm sorry, but it would be on. Be on your copies. I inadvertently left it off.
Okay. Any other comment on the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of approval?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Item 6, let's see, would be fire items. There's none this evening, as I understand it. Item 7, utility items, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is a continual disclosure of the emergency that the board declared following the earthquake of December 03, and continued cleaning and inspection of our sewer and water mains as a result. Every regular meeting of the board, we're required to continue the declaration of emergency. To continue the declaration of emergency for cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Any board comment? Any comment on this item from the public? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Brookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Second item is consideration of approval of temporary water supply agreements. Mitch, I understand you have a recommendation on this item?
Yes, the district is able to negotiate with the City of Aurora Grande and the City of Grover Beach to provide them with temporary water should they fall short of their water needs based on their allocation under the gentleman's agreement. Each city has requested that the district provide up to 100 acre feet for each city for a period of 2 years with a renewal period of 2 additional years. During this period of time, they are seeking additional water sources. And as you know, we've entered into an agreement with them that we would be looking at desal. There would be contributed one-third of the $10,000 amount to do the desalinization study or feasibility study. And we would be paid for the water based on what our actual cost for Lopez water is, which is about $762 currently. Next year it'll go to about $1,100. Year after that will be $1,300. So for every acre foot they use, they would pay us if they used it. This is basically a fallback position for those cities.
I have people in Arroyo and Grover can use it, and therefore our residents won't be paying. So it sounds like a good arrangement for everyone. Any other comment or questions from the board?
Nope, I asked mine earlier today.
It sounds good to me.
Any comments or questions from the public on this item? Hearing none, look for a motion.
I'll move that we enter the agreement to sell water to Roy Grandy and Grover as needed up to 100 acre feet per city.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved by Director Angelo, seconded by Director Buckout. Any further discussion?
The motion would also include that the president of the board be authorized to sign on behalf of the district.
That's fine.
Bill?
Yes. Okay.
Comment or question from the public? Hearing none, you have a roll call, please, Gina.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Buckout?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 7C, reconstruction of McCarthy Avenue and Juanita Avenue. Consideration of an agreement with the County of San Luis Obispo to jointly repave the street where we recently repaired the water and sewer lines on those streets. The district would only be able to basically make a patch on the areas where the utility work was complete.
We entered into an agreement with the county, and we're going to get the money that we would normally spend just for patching. If you've been down either McCarthy or Juanita Street, you'll notice that streets are in pretty bad shape. And for us just to patch a portion of it would give less than a desirable effect. So we contacted the county and been working with them and come to the agreement that the money we would normally spend, we would be able to just give to them. They will invoice us when it's completed. This will take place hopefully in October, and the streets will be completely reconstructed. We have a similar situation we're working on for Strand when we redo the water line down Strand.
Will they be putting a curb gutter sidewalk in the full length of the street this time?
No. I mean, they will just, all they're doing is the streets. They're not putting any improvements to private property or anything like that. Any curb gutter and sidewalk that was removed because of our putting in a water line, and I don't know if there was any, Phil, was there any?
Might have been a few short sections.
Yeah, that will be replaced, but there will be no additional curb gutter and sidewalk put in.
To benefit the community, would it be of any advantage to talk to some of the residents there to possibly look at, a lump sum curb gutter and sidewalk project adjacent to this, before the street's finished?
certainly, you know, certainly do that. I think it would be to their advantage if they wanted to do it individually. When the pipe was done, the district tried to get involved with the county to form like an assessment district, and the amount of money that was required just for the administration.
If they chose to build or construct, they wouldn't be going into the new blacktop out there and coming up with that expense.
Right.
That's again, I have to commend this this effort to cooperate with the county and achieve a better result for the residents than I think would have otherwise been the case. I know those two streets are in bad disrepair after the earthquake, certainly, and this looks like it'll make a full restoration or certainly a major improvement over what's there now. And your comment, Bill, I think is well taken, that economies of scale with curb gutter and sidewalk might encourage those improvements to be made at far less cost than if everybody individually tried to do that. Other comment from the board?
I think the staff did a good job on getting this put together, though.
Barbara?
No comment.
Is there any comment from the public on this item? Gordon?
Gordon Shore, which I live on McCarthy Street, and it is in sorry condition after subsurface construction. So I want to urge you to cooperate all you can with the county to get them resurfaced. I thank you for your efforts.
You're welcome. Any other public comment on this item? Hearing none, I'll look for a motion.
I move that we enter into
construction of McCarthy Avenue and Juanita Avenue.
And again, the motion is for the president to sign.
Yes. Construct the president to sign, please.
So noted in the motion. Any other board comment? Any other public comment? We have a roll call, please, Gina.
Vice
President Mann?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
President Hill? Yes. Item 8B, financial statements for the period ending June 30th.
What about A? I'm going to skip A.
Did I miss A? I'm sorry, I did miss A. Thank you, Bill. Item 8A is Resolution 2005-23, Confirmation of Copy Fees Pursuant to the Public Records Act. Consideration of a resolution establishing copy costs pursuant to Government Code Section 6527 at 10 cents per page. At the last meeting, the board approved in concept the idea of charging 10 cents per page for copies of records held by the district. And that was approved such that we are today bringing forth a resolution to officially establish that. And I believe that's the recommended action on this item, Resolution 2005-23. Comments, questions from the board? Hearing none, any comment or questions from the public on this item? Was there any previous resolution that pertained to this?
Must have been some, yeah, something put it, you know, 25 cents. Council, do we have to?
Well, I don't know what the prior resolution was, but I don't see any point in going back and trying to retroactively adopt something that would only cover prior acts. The real issue is getting something in place from this date forward, which is what this resolution is intended to do.
But then we have something in order at some date. But wouldn't this would supersede
anything previous, forward. Yes.
Okay, welcome, Brent.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late. I had some car trouble out of town. Busted a radiator hose.
so I was barely able to get down and get back.
Okay, we are on item 8A, which is consideration of resolution 2005-23, confirmation of the copy fees pursuant to the Public Records Act. And we have before us the resolution confirming our action at the last meeting to make a 10 cent per page record charge.
Okay.
At public request.
I'll move that we adopt resolution 2005-23.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Angelo and seconded by Director Bookout to accept resolution 2005-23, the confirmation of copy. I believe Director Dahl was present for the discussion on that.
Part of the discussion, so I didn't know whether I was voting or not. Yes.
Okay, thank you. That resolution carries unanimously. Brings us now to item 8B, the financial statements for the period ending June 30th, 2005, which is the end of our fiscal year.
Actually, President Hill, we did present those at the last board meeting. The financial statements this evening are for the first month of the new fiscal year, 8%. And we have revenues, excuse me, of $326,657 for the first month, with expenditures of $154,614. And that gives us an excess of revenues over expenditures for the first month of $172,043. The bulk of the expense is in the water department for 50% payment of the 2005-2006 LOPEZ.
Don't spend the excess.
Right. Point well taken. So are the on the agenda, if I'm looking at that, then that should be for the period 7/31.
Right. I'm sorry. That's...
Actually, you gave him a choice.
Yeah, I gave him a choice. You can either go July...
...the board. And with concurrence, we'll order that received and filed, please. Brings us to item 9A, reports of district representatives. I attended the Zone 1 1A Advisory Committee meeting this past Monday, and things are moving forward with respect to maintenance in the Arroyo Grande Creek Channel to try to clear out some of the brush. The California Conservation Corps crews should be arriving on the order of September 6th, I believe is the date, and they'll bring in hand crews. There's possibly going to be goats used to help clean up some of the brush, hand crews to be used. We're endeavoring to arrange with Chief Dan Turner from the County CDF Fire Service to borrow a chipper to use in the channel for the hand crews to clear out the brush, and then it would be chipped up and disposed of. And we've had some positive response on that. There's still quite a few items in the works. The study of the entire watershed is coming together. That should be available at least as a preliminary report next month. We hope that that's going to show ways that the sedimentation that originates in the upper watershed and washes down into this area could be alleviated to a degree. Also, the concern is to try to reduce the peak flows in the creek, such time of the peak water flow, and reduce the amount of flow at that peak time to try to avoid flooding. It looks at this time as though we're going to try to move forward with a Prop 218 election, whereas the residents of the existing Zone 11A would have to approve a tax override to support the work in the creek. While none of us like to see a tax override issue, I'm sure, recall that this issue is would be probably on the order of a third, or maybe even maybe as little as a quarter of the amount that would otherwise be imposed if the Department of Water Resources came in and just took over the creek maintenance and charged all the residents as they are authorized by the state water code to do. So when that comes together, we'll be looking for support of the community for that tax issue.
Excuse me. Just the people within the zone will vote?
The current plan, as I understand it, is to have the property owners within the current zone vote. Although the county, the city of Rio Grande, and the other entities in the upper watershed are aware that increasing urbanization in that area contributes dramatically to the increased flow in the creek channel, and they are looking at ways to spread the burden of the cost of maintaining the creek throughout the watershed. The idea of just going forward with the current zone is that, so rather than take the risk of having that happen, it's my understanding, for the reason that the Zone Advisory Committee is proceeding at this time, just in the zone, the existing Zone 11A, but the proposal that I believe they're undertaking is to have a two-part vote. The first vote would affect only the existing Zone 11A, and then there's a second vote to extend that throughout the watershed.
I wonder how they would do that if you didn't live on, for instance, some property holders that, who don't live in that zone 11A, they wouldn't be registered to vote at, you know, in a vacant field or whatever it might be. How are they going to track those people? It seems like a nightmare to try to do something like that.
Well, my understanding is that the property owners would be contacted based on the property tax rules from the county. So they would be contacted by mail, and they would be allowed to vote on that basis. So that's pretty much brings us up to date on the Zone 11A. If there's any comments or questions? Okay, Vice President Mann.
At the Sand District, we also talked about this subject, a little different than what you're talking about. Supervisor Sajin was there. Pablo, I don't remember. I can never say his last name. A couple of people from Zone 11A spent an hour and 45 minutes talking about the plans. And Supervisor Sajin said he only wants to go to the people one time only. And he said, whatever the figure is, that's a figure. And I mentioned then that, well, you know, you need to factor in inflation, because otherwise you'll be right back in the same situation you are right now. You know, even if you said $30 a parcel, whatever you said a parcel, if you didn't put in something that was going to raise each year, you'd be right back in the same situation you are now. Oh, Jerry Linthal was here also. And then they had a little email. If I could have that. Could I have that a minute so I can... Because I had a question about this since you were there yesterday. Thanks, Linda. This was shared with us, and this was from Julie Thomas, and she sent it to the people on the committee. And in it, they're talking about setting the vegetation thinning priorities in the Rio Grande Creek. And they were talking about what it was going to cost, and they kind of talk about apples and oranges in this money, and we talked about that a little bit. But one of the areas they talked about was saying the area below the Guyton's Crossing, where the channel widened significantly, has greater capacity. So they were thinking about taking that out of this thinning right now. And I'm wondering if they still are talking about not pulling any weeds there.
I don't know the specific answer to that.
Yeah, because that was in this. And, you know, I would think, and I don't want to see.
It's way down here.
Okay, and here's the sewer plant, right? They're talking about not not pulling it
you
down.
See how the, but you see how the levee turns left here a little
uh-huh,
bit?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's just about 100 yards from Clayton's Crossing.
Okay.
And there is no southern dike. It's just basically opens up into willows and sand dunes there.
So it doesn't hurt if that's not cleaned out?
Well, I'm not an engineer or anything, but...
Oh, wow. Please? It isn't going to hurt you? No. Yeah. I mean, I was just curious about that, Jim, that they did mention that. They talked a lot about that there was $150,000 for maintenance... from the Board of Supervisors, but then in their little figures up here, it didn't add to that. And they said, well, we weren't taking all that into consideration. And I said, you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. If they're talking figures up in this paragraph, it ought to total the amount they had. So we spent a lot of time on that. That's basically what the SAD district meeting was about. Information. And the other thing was, there's been some negotiations between the Sand District and the county about an agreement for contributing some money to this. And I believe county legal department was pushing to get an agreement, me for our as chair, to try to make sure everybody's on the same page, because we were getting two messages, one from legal counsel and one from other people in the county, you know, two different messages, and trying to get one message.
At the meeting on Monday, we were advised that Supervisor Shajian was probably not successful in endeavoring to get entrance fee money from the beach, although I understand he tried very diligently to achieve that. Apparently, there's quite a bit of resistance in state government to do that.
Yes, there is. So that's what happened at the Sand District. The other thing, LAFCO was last week, and Avila is going to apply to have garbage collection. This was supposed to be a very short meeting. We only had an hour and a half to be in the chambers, although we're supposed to have the whole morning, because Fishing Game was waiting. And it was being televised, so we were televised live, and so we had lots of people then who decided they wanted to speak. And it was pure updates, Napomo's update, so there was maybe four or five people talked about Napomo. The 2020 meeting, a couple people had stood up and talked about that, but we did get out of there in an hour and 20 minutes, because the public began to pour in before we were done. But those little 3-minute clocks are pretty good. I learned how to work that really well. I pushed that.
David,
at a previous fire committee meeting, we had talked about looking in the possibilities of doing citations for our fire department. And staff come back with the information at last night's meeting, and basically it was just not feasible for us to do it with writing citations, because we would have to supply our own legal counsel to do any prosecuting. So what they did come up with is Mitch contacted the land use violations codes, and we're going to have these forms in our office, so anybody that has, you know, wants to file a complaint as far as land use or violations of codes, they'll be able to pick one up in the office and then mail it off to the county. And so we're going to see how that works out. We are also brought up to date on the Type 4. Apparently the state asked us to send them an invoice, so it sounds like that's getting real close and getting here. We also received our funds from the county for the facility fees, so we've got that in our possession now. It turned out to be about $201,000. Is that correct? And we got an update on engine 6192, who is up in Oakdale getting some repairs done on it. And we hope to get that back towards the latter part of the week. And then we had a meeting scheduled for the consolidation study. That's right. We got an update on the FEMA grant, too. And we got our second notice, which the grant writer said that's good. If you get the second notice, it means you're still in the running. And that's going to be a 5% matching grant, and it's pretty close to $200,000 that we're asking for.
Okay, thank you.
That'll do it.
That sounds like, if I recall, the amount in the facility fees then is more than we were originally expecting. Right?
$10,000, $15,000.
Yeah, that's good.
Fire's taken care of. Oceano House, and there really wasn't much at the last meeting, a very short meeting. Nothing under other. So. Okay.
Ver?
No, I have nothing.
Is there any comment or questions from the public regarding the director's reports? Hearing none, that brings us to item 10. Public comment. Again, any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Would any member of the public like to address the board? Hearing none at the moment. Item 11, board member items for discussion.
I have nothing.
I wasn't going to talk about this tonight, but I think I will since you have brought up policy. Those are supposed to be referred directly to the general manager unless it's about him. And I think that the reason that this policy is, that we have this policy is that so that all of us can be equally apprised of communications with and the answers received from district legal counsel. If we're not doing it this way, we're all not fully informed of communications or what's going on, and we can't make educated decisions. So I think we need to coordinate the requests and adhere to the resolution that is in our policy and procedures, and that'll also help get rid of some of the unnecessary legal expenses. And I really appreciate it if this policy would be utilized by all of us as board members so that we can work together better. I knew nobody wanted to hear what I had to say.
Thank you.
So we have individual board members running up legal bills on their own?
That I don't know. I just...
I presume Vice President Mann's referring to my emails that I've sent to both counsel and the general manager regarding the item that I spoke about earlier this evening.
Yeah, you brought that up. That was...
Mm-hmm. Which... And your point is well taken. I didn't have a way to share that with the other board members, and obviously I was concerned about that and concerned about the possible repercussions. I expressed the opinion that it might be better to address that in advance of going forward with an item so that we wouldn't get in trouble, that we could... perhaps consider a waiver of the particular case for good cause.
I'm not wondering, perhaps legal counsel could answer this, if we have a question and we tell, we say to Mitch, we'd like to find out from legal counsel XYZ, then that question and that answer be sent to all five of us. Mm-hmm. Is that... fair?
This is an issue that exists in virtually every public agency that I'm aware of. It's not unusual for members of the public agency to go around, and I don't mean that necessarily in an unkind or improper way, but go around other staff to try and get answers a little more directly from legal counsel. The good thing about it is a lot of times you can get a quick answer to a question without distracting other staff and without, you know, creating a bureaucracy. The bad thing about it is that sometimes in some unfortunate situations, board members use it as a way to sort of try and get legal counsel or some subordinate staff person sort of on their side, but also not wanting to be used as a tool in what could be a difficult situation. And I'm not suggesting anything of that sort happened here. So many public agencies do have the kind of policy that you cited here. Generally speaking, they are observed. Sometimes in de minimis cases, when it really is just a quick answer and there's not a problem, then subordinate staff or counsel will say, look, there's not really a problem here. Let's just get it taken care of, and we'll try to respond. In other situations, either because of the particular management style that's in place or political considerations or the particular issue or cost considerations, organizations will take the position that they need to adopt a more firm, you know, we just go by the book kind of rule. And I can certainly live with it however this board wants to do it, on, you know, anywhere on the scale. We just need to have some direction. That's all.
Well, I guess I personally feel that if a question is being asked, that we are going to get a lot of credit for this session, right, today, money-wise? You know what,
that's some kind of a radio.
You know, we're asking a question that perhaps, you know, say I have a question, and I ask Mitch to ask you, and it's something that is probably of interest to the other, maybe just one or two board members. I would think the best thing would be,
whenever I communicate with a board member, in President Dillon's, almost exclusively by email, I always make sure the general manager gets copied on the communication. In the case of telephone calls, I may not get to it the same day because it's a little more difficult, but I pretty much always make sure the general manager knows that I've had that contact with a member of the board.
But if it's only the two of you, or say me and the general manager and you, and the other people don't know what's going on, I don't think that's right.
Well, I understand
that.
And
I'm questioning whether it is right or not.
I understand that. There is, I think President Hill has raised a good point that in a situation where somebody was intending to try and circumvent the Brown Act, the kind of thing that you're talking about could be used under some circumstances as a way to communicate with the rest of the board and try and reach a consensus and discuss an issue of the day without doing it in a public session. So we do have to be a little bit careful about myself and the general manager communicating and, you know, answering a question for some member of the board and then, you know, automatically passing all that information on, which generates a response. And in effect, we have a conversation and a meeting through this correspondence, because that's not right either.
What? My concern would be that any one board member without the consent of the entire board is running up bills for this district. And that's not to be done. And I think we've got policy down here for this.
That I've been. Is that we'll go months without any of that sort of communication. And then some set of issues will occur, and over the course of 2 or 3 months, there might be a lot of it. Whether it's because it's a significant issue or there's some political considerations involved or whatever. And if the board wants to establish direction that you know You don't want that kind of communication at all.
Well, isn't the policy already in effect? Don't we already have that direction?
The policy's already in effect, but I can tell you that, for instance, there were a couple of occasions during your presidency when I had telephone communications with you. What I should have done is, if we're going to scrupulously follow the policy, I should have said, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you.
Okay, we had...
A couple of occasions. It didn't occur very often, but there were a couple of occasions where you had some questions and you came directly to me to try and get some answers. And they were appropriate things. They weren't anything that was outside the box.
But they were done with or through the general manager as well.
Well, I don't know that, but that's my point. And the same thing happened with Mr. Senna when he was president of the board. And I can't cite you chapter and verse off the top of my head, but I'm sure there have been occasions where I've gotten phone calls from other members of the board. I know it's happened in other jurisdictions where I've worked. I've gotten phone calls from members of those governing bodies. And on a customer service basis, you want to try and take care of it if it's not something that's a manipulation of the system.
Again, back, there's a problem, whatever the problem might be. I want to know about that problem ahead of time so I can be thinking about it. I don't want it just to hit me here.
Well, you raise a very good point. I guess the problem is I don't know whether it's a big question or not until I've already had the conversation. And perhaps...
Well, I'm not saying, you know, after you have the conversation, then maybe can you then tell the rest of the people, there's a problem and this is what I said.
We certainly can do that.
Is that legal?
As President Hill pointed out, he and I respectfully disagree about how big a problem it is. I think it's a fairly de minimis issue. He thinks it's somewhat more significant.
Well, I mean, not even forgetting his problem, cleaning the creek, let's use that word, something like that. And, you know, there's some talk about, let's say... whether it should be just Zone 1 and 1A or it should be all of Oceano. And that's something you two say are discussing. I would think that that would be something that the rest of us would sure like to know ahead of time so that we can have our thoughts together when we come here as a group.
Well, and usually, I can't say every time, but usually these things that I get contacted on are things that are pending issues before the board. And so most of the time, it's going to find its way into some staff report that I write or staff report that Mitch writes, or at least the basic background and thoughts, and the issue is going to get in front of you sooner or later. The particular issue that gave rise to try and get that accomplished so that we can hopefully avoid some of these issues in the future.
And I guess maybe I think, it would have been nice if there had been a little note in here or something. We're going to be looking at the personnel and policies that are outdated, not just to hit us out of the blue.
Well, we're trying to identify what the costs are going to be. We're soliciting a proposal to get this work done, and then we'll bring that back to you before it gets done. Well, I'm not 100% sure that it depends on whether it's inside or outside the general manager's authority.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet.
Sorry for...
We can call me tomorrow and we'll talk about it then.
No, I don't think so. You probably turn on that clock the minute we call. I'm not going to do that.
Okay, any other items for discussion?
So I don't have to call Alex tomorrow.
I should have used
In the paper today and on a radio station, I heard that we have a... lost our gateway to the dunes. And folks on a radio station, I'm sure it's going to end up on Jay Leno or one of those late night shows, probably tonight or tomorrow night. But is that something that OCSD, we have patented, or has OCSD used this, or is it something that the community has used?
The community has used this. They've used it as part of their, license plates that were license plate frames that were handed out. This is, Oceano Gateway that dunes, which were handed out in 1993 for the centennial of Oceano. I guess sharing it with another community who is also who has decided that they somehow are at the gateway to the dunes also. But I don't think that Oceano Gateway to the Dunes has been taken from us. I think it has been also being used by another community in close proximity to us, but that does not preclude us from using it.
Very well. I don't want to lose that.
No, well, and I don't think the OIA or very many of the members of the community do. It's not a copyrighted name, and as I read in the paper today, there are four other communities that, if I recall the number, there are four other communities that use the moniker Gateway of the Dunes, and they said they're in other states. We were the only one in California.
They just kind of want to take off a little bit from our fame then of Gateway to the Dunes and take it down there to Santa Barbara County and kind of mimic us then?
Yeah, well, I think they were jealous.
Yeah, mini-me then. Okay.
So just for the record, we are the Gateway.
Yeah, we are the Gateway.
Outstanding.
Gateway to the Oceano Dunes.
Oceano Dunes.
Yeah. You are the Gateway to the Oceano Dunes right here. Okay, any other discussion items? Brings us to item 12, consideration of the warrants.
President Hill, there was one correction to the register on the...
Is there any board comment or questions on the warrants?
Is that the one for Bill Senna? He doesn't work for us anymore, does he? Okay.
Any comment or question from the public? Hearing none.
Move to pay the warrants.
Second.
We moved and seconded to approve the warrants as corrected. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Item 13, is there any written communication?
Received communication from the council for the bank concerning the OCCI loan, concerning possible additional deed restrictions, and we've gotten that cleared out. Received a lot of communications this week concerning a special Zone 3 meeting tomorrow night concerning the cost overruns for the water treatment plant. Spent some time today talking to the county's accountant concerning what the impact will be, and we'll find out tomorrow night where that's going to go. Initial proposal was, or initial estimate was $18 million. Now we're up to $26 million. It's going to be pretty obvious that any kind of construction will also have change orders and anything else to go with it. So, where that's going, we're not sure. But they're going to talk about different ways to possibly pay for it. We got a communication, several communications from CityGate, which is, and the cities concerning the meetings that they're scheduling, what another said, so they wanted to do that. So the elected officials will be approximately 3 weeks. And then we also got a communication from Julie Thomas, and I think that's been covered. Basically, the communication we got dealt mainly with the finance part of it, how they're talking about cleaning up the goats. They have budgeted for $35,000, but they're hoping to be able to spend only $25,000 on that. And, are they going to be able to get donated portable restrooms, things like that? It's the financial part of the creek thinning process. So, and that's it.
Okay, any questions from the board on the correspondence? Public? Okay. Look for a move to adjourn.
So moved.